As we are studying along in the book of Acts, we are seeking to understand how it went with the Christians in the early church. We're trying to notice as we read along the experiences these people had and the way in which they were able to spread the gospel in their day and time. We have just finished in our study with chapter 9, and things happened in chapter 9 that are likely to be quite a bit beyond what the average one of us will ever see. The early part of chapter 9 had to do with Paul's experience on the Damascus Road. And while there are people today that have experiences that are remarkable, many of which they're never able to tell other people, still in all, it is an unusual sort of thing when the Lord, the living Lord himself, in some open manifestation, touches a man's heart and mind and changes him. Certainly, the conversion of Saul the Pharisee was a tremendous thing. And then, in our last study, we took note how in the latter part of the chapter, Peter is seen going out, exercising his faith in healing and actually in raising the dead. This would make a tremendous impression upon the people of his time. I'm not going to make a great deal of that by way of intimating that we could have that with us today. I don't know. I can tell you this, that even back in the time of the early church, there were many, many communities where the gospel was taken in and people preached and they didn't introduce it this way. That miracles have occurred in the course of the preaching of the gospel, undoubtedly true. And that these miracles have invariably attracted attention to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, certainly true. I wouldn't question them for one single moment. I think that for myself, when I study these things, I say to myself, it may not be given to us to make such a change physically as Peter did on Aeneas when he raised this man who had been 8 years bedridden with the palsy, and he restored him healthy and well, or this woman who had died and he raised her from the dead. We may not have that kind of physical experience, although I'm not going to say that such things couldn't happen. But we may also, on the other hand, have certain spiritual manifestations of the power of God, and let us not belittle those. For instance, if the gospel is preached in a certain community, and a man has for a length of time, perhaps whatever it may be, say for instance it's 8 years' time, has shown an actual opposition to the church. He hasn't gone to church, he's been steadfastly opposed to it, would have nothing to do with it, and any call that came to him in any way, he just didn't respond at all. Suppose a man like that were converted by preaching, and a minister comes into a community and begins to preach, and that man is converted. Don't you think that would make a tremendous impression on that community? I think it would. And I think it would be just as real a miracle as this one was here. Or we'll say that here is a woman who, for one reason or another, has just turned away from everything that pertains to God. Maybe a woman with a good record, a woman who had done well, a woman who in her earlier years had served in many capacities, and she's just quit. She loses all interest in everything about the church. I have such a person in mind that I met years ago. I remember a woman years ago who had been very active in the church. She had been actually holding, she held an office in the women's work of the church, and she was known to be in the church every Sunday, just as regular as clockwork. She was there with her two daughters. There came a day when she quit coming. I mean she quit altogether and didn't come. She gave some sort of an excuse that sounded all right, but the result of it was that she didn't come to church. She didn't bring her daughters. That was just the end of that. I remember how some years later I had the experience of being in her home, talking with her. And because she hadn't been coming to church, and I was the young pastor in the situation, I felt that I should say something to her. And I recall how I asked her how it went with her soul. She was a little startled to have me ask the question, but she was honest. And she said, well, not good. I said, well, tell me about it. And she said, well, the things of heaven were not as real as they used to be. That she used to have faith in God, but she didn't have this faith anymore. Then she began to apologize for not coming to church and explained why she couldn't come, gave the same reasons that she had given through all the years. I paid no attention to that especially because I wasn't asking her about that. I just wanted to know how it was going with her own soul. And she had given me the answer. It wasn't going well. And then I was given, I think, under God, the word to say to her. I pointed out to her, why should it go well? You don't, I asked her incidentally, I said, do you read the Bible by yourself? And she admitted that she didn't read it. I said, do you listen to men preaching over the radio? No, she didn't listen to men preaching over the radio. I asked her, do you read books that tell about the Bible and that give you Bible interpretation? No, she didn't read books and didn't read Bible interpretation. Then I said, can you understand that if you wouldn't eat, and you didn't eat, and you didn't eat, and you didn't eat, that after a while you'd get weak? After a while you wouldn't feel like you could do anything? I said, that's exactly your condition. You've starved your soul and starved your soul and starved your soul, and right now you've got no strength in your soul at all. She said, well, that was true. She had no strength. Well, I said, don't you see why? You haven't fed yourself. Now, I think it could even perhaps go so far as that someone could, as it were, for the time being, lose all interest in the church, and that's what I think a person that would be dead would do, lose all interest in spiritual things, lose all interest in Bible reading, lose all interest in praying, lose all interest in heaven, lose all interest in things of God, just don't want to be bothered about any of those things. Would be a person that I think you could just say to yourself, now that person is just dead, and that's what they would be. Such a case could be revived. Such instances have actually come back to life, as it were. They've become sensitive again to the things of God. It could happen. And if it did, I think it would be as big a thing as this when Dorcas was raised from the dead by Peter. In any case, let me say this. Such effect, people actually being affected in the community, will definitely affect the community and turn the community to the things of the Lord. I suppose I could wind up my comments by simply saying that church activity, church work, Sunday school work, young people's work, and work in the church as a whole that does not produce results, makes no changes in anybody's lives. People just come and they go through these things and go home and they're much the same as they were before. I think that generally speaking you will find that that's a situation that will not prosper. I mean by that, I don't expect many new people will be attracted, and the older people will not be much helped. A situation like that needs, actually, to have some great work of God done among them that will arouse the people to believe as to what God can do. But we must now go on to chapter 10. And when we come to chapter 10, we find another person mentioned, and this is a man by the name of Cornelius. I want to read a few verses here, and I want you to see just what the situation was with this man. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. I suppose you recognize he was a soldier. He was an officer in the army, and he was like a foreign soldier. He was one of the Italians, and this was in Palestine. So he was a man like a Roman who was there with them. And then I read in verse 2, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Certainly this would be a remarkable testimony for a man to have. A devout man, meaning to say he was the type of man who prayed to God, who was conscious of God, who worshipped God. One that feared God with all his house, that is, one who honored God with all his house, respected God with all his house. He kept his children in line, so that when the time was there to honor God, they took part. He kept them with him. They feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, was charitable to the poor, and prayed to God always. I can picture how someone would say right away, well, certainly that's a good man. What more would he need? Well, let's read on. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, and that's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so you can have some idea when he was praying. It isn't just a night fare when you pray. You can pray in daytime too. He saw in a vision evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. That is, he was stirred. It was surprising. And he felt queer. He had that sense of tension that you have when something exciting and different comes up. And said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, the angel said to Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Which is to say, God has taken note of your sincerity, and he has taken note of the way in which you pray, he has taken note of the way in which you give to the poor, and he is coming now to help you. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And you, when you go through that, you boil it all down, you find that this angel told Peter, send to Joppa and get Simon Peter, and he will tell you what you ought to do. In other words, there's more than being devout, fearing God with all his house, giving to the poor, and praying. There's more than that. The prayers and the alms are very important, but there's more than that. And you send to this man, Simon Peter, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. That doesn't mean that the praying and the giving of alms and fearing God and being devout was bad, but there's something more specific than that and something you can do in addition to that. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So he sent what we today would call a committee, apparently of three, two of his servants and a soldier, three people who were to go all the way over to Joppa and call this man Peter and bring him back so that he could talk to Cornelius and could explain to Cornelius what Cornelius needed to do. This was of special interest to me because in my own personal spiritual experience, this very incident was used to help me to understand the truth. I had had the idea that if a man did right, that God would receive him. And the old farmer that I was talking with drew my attention to the fact about Cornelius. Cornelius had been doing the right, and God noticed the right he did and liked him so much, he was so pleased with him, that he sent an angel to him to tell him what he ought to do. Send for Simon Peter, and Simon Peter will tell you what you really need to know. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to be found faithful where we are, to be obedient unto thee, but open our eyes that we may understand, so that we may get the whole truth and be able intelligently to commit ourselves to thee through Jesus Christ. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.